Welcome, beautiful being, to the Gaia Goddess Podcast. I am your host and founder, Maria Marshall. Each episode, we explore the transformational journey of women entrepreneurs, healers, and experts as they share their insightful stories and wisdom with a world of modern-day goddesses. Check out our community and free online content at GaiaGoddessLifestyle.com. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to our Gaia Goddess Podcast. Today, I have a very interesting and lovely, positive light being. Her name is Belle Kiao, like meow, but Kiao with a K. And Belle has a couple of companies, Heartstorm, LLC, and Inner Sanctum, which we will talk about. But one of the products that I bought, Belle and I met at the Awaken Fair, which was actually an amazing spiritual fair in Tarrytown. And this is one of her candles. It's called Main Character, and it smells amazing. But what I want to tell you that's interesting about the title of this candle, and that Belle doesn't know, is that many years ago, I had a cowrie shell reading with a shaman. And this is before I even knew about Gaia Goddess. I hadn't had the vision of Gaia Goddess. And he went through the shells, and his readings were always very, very accurate. And he said, "Something big is coming your way. You are going to birth something really, really big. I mean, it's like, imagine your whole life you played a B-roll character and suddenly you got cast as the main character in an amazing movie with the best directors and actors, and you were the main character." So this candle is main character, and it just really spoke to me because I love to act, of course. And I love the idea that I was going to be cast as a main character, but not really in a film or a play, more in my life, more in the world. I think, I know Gaia Goddess is a game changer. And sometimes I'm like, did I really have to pick something this big? I'm working really hard. But then I say cancel to the universe, because Belle is a manifestation coach, and you want to be careful about what you put out there, even in your moments.
Absolutely.
When you're like, oh, this is hard. I might have been happier just, and then you're like, no, cancel, because I love Gaia Goddess, and she's worth all of the effort and more. So just also bought some beautiful earrings from Belle. And but Belle, before we get into the store and before we get into Inner Sanctum and some of these other amazing things that you create as a very creative being, I just wanted to give a shout out, because Belle follows Gaia Goddess on Instagram. And I want to say that there probably is not a post that goes by that Belle doesn't write something that is so heartfelt and inspirational to me when I read it. Like, I really, really look forward to her comments. And we talked about this for a second, and I kind of think, like, one of Belle's gifts is this gift of heartfelt positivity that she could bring to me through Instagram, but I'm sure, you know, to everybody she interacts with. And so all of us beings of light and love, we all have our signature ways of touching other people's hearts and souls. And I just wanted to acknowledge Belle, how she's touched me, and it's just been through Instagram. So I can only imagine how she reaches out to those that she works with and what she brings to other people in her life. So Belle, like, you know, kudos to you for being so amazingly bright and light and positive, because I've really appreciated that about you.
Oh, thank you so much, Maria. And honestly, like when I first met you, your energy was so big. I could feel it from across the room. And I love that main character energy you bring in like every conversation and every video. And it definitely does resonate even when we're talking digitally. So thank you for doing that. And yeah, I think it's just like one of those things, like you said, one of my things that's just like being a day maker and just, you know, instead of trying to spread darkness, spreading kindness and love and just focusing on the best, like among each other and like the best in ourselves. So yeah, love that.
I mean, hallelujah, because honestly, Belle, if everybody did what you're doing, there really wouldn't be any darkness to focus on.
Right?
All a choice. I mean,
you know what
I mean? I mean, what do we give our, you know, where attention goes, energy flows. And so if your attention goes to focusing on the positive as a manifestation coach, you kind of have to do that, right?
Absolutely.
But then you shine that out to other people. They see you super positive. And when you said to me, oh my God, your energy is amazing. I think you might've been the only person that day at the fair that said that. That doesn't mean that people weren't attracted to me and wanted to talk to me, but it made me feel so good to be seen. And you know, maybe other people also don't always like pick up the subtle, you know, vibrations, but you're very keen and very sensitive. So I'm sure you can read anybody across the room.
Absolutely. It's a blessing and a blessing.
A blessing and a blessing. I love that. Yeah. Well, some things like sensitivity can be blessings and a blessing, but you have to learn how to use it because it can take a toll on you. So, and I like how you said a blessing and a blessing, which some people would say it's a blessing and a curse. And then, then you have to say cancel. That's an access consciousness tool that I learned. We could talk more about that, but I wanted to find out because you're young, you're deep in the spiritual practice and business and world, and you're such a bright light. And I was just wondering, like, were you born into that? Was that like in your family? Was everybody, you know, all up in positivity, or did you just come in solely bringing this in as your own gift of manifestation? Let me call it that.
I love that, Maria. And I think that the question is a little dynamic because a part of me does feel like I am an old soul and I've had my Akashic records read. However, I had guides like as family members throughout this lifetime that have encouraged more spiritual conversations. And I've always believed in God, but I've always struggled with like the concept of religion. So a bit of a rebel growing up in terms of like that, but it's like ultimately like the faith-based mindset has always been there, like believing in the universe, believing in myself, believing in others. And that's translated despite the more religious parts of it that I've kind of chosen to not necessarily, you know, follow. If anything, I feel like I've learned from different religions across the board rather than one.
They all have truth and they all have non-truths.
Exactly.
And you're smart enough as a child, like I was, to be like, there's something inherently wrong with this whole, there's parts of it that work and others that don't make sense. And so we probably had many lifetimes where, you know, we followed other ways. And being an old soul, you probably would come in saying religion is great, but you know, you have to be able to discern for yourself what resonates, makes sense, and what you can leave on the side. So you found your spirituality and you just always had this knowing, this claircognizance sort of, this is it, this is my path and this is my way. And so then did you know you always wanted to work in the spiritual realm? Or was there a time when you thought, oh, I might like to be an actress or a singer or a painter?
That's a great question, Maria. I think for the longest time, I've been in like the corporate world in a way, and it's just kind of going from like corporate to consciousness. And I think for a good decade, just especially I think working with like Asian culture and like the way I was raised, like I had to this like inner dialogue where it was focusing on what people expected of me versus my own expectations of myself and what I wanted and what I wanted to like manifest. And I went through like a dark period in a way, almost like a darkness before the light where...
When was this? Like what age?
This was like in my mid-20s, like mid...
Okay.
Like my mid to late 20s. And then...
And by what people expected, did it also have something to do with Asian culture and the pressure that sometimes immigrants and Asian descent will also kind of hold their kids up to very high standards?
Absolutely, yes. And my brother is like an example of that too. Like he's a doctor, but he's also focusing on his music. So he's doing both right now at the same time. So it's almost like we've kind of been put a lot of pressure from my parents to be a certain way and to live up to those standards. So it's just kind of like breaking through like societal expectations. Yeah. And breaking out of the matrix.
I feel like you owe them something too. Like,
oh yeah.
Feeling like they sacrificed everything for me and I'm going to disappoint them.
Yeah. And I think when I stopped caring as much about not necessarily what other people think, but when I no longer needed that validation from the external world and had that like inner knowing and wasn't afraid of trusting myself, like that added a lot of clarity as well.
Well, hold on there. Because yeah. To get there doesn't just snap your finger.
No.
So
yeah.
I just like, honestly, to go from fear to freedom, to yes. go from fear of failure to like, I don't care, failure's not trying. And to have that paradigm shift is a miracle, actually. Like, yeah. like really, so how did you transcend that? Because it is very ingrained and can be very yeah. painful to like totally. Walk away from.
Yeah. I think what it is like everything kind of fell apart. Like almost at that moment, I was like just turning like 33. And I know it's like kind of weird. It's like the Jesus year, but yeah. It's like the same thing where I like literally parts of me had to die though. Like, and I had to be like resurrected in my own way where I was like misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder. So for a good year and a half, I was like convinced that there was something wrong with me, that like the people around me were like, oh, do this, do that. And I was just listening to them versus trusting myself.
How do you get misdiagnosed with bipolar? First of all, just sorry, but how do you get misdiagnosed with bipolar disorder? And did you?
I know, right? Sorry, go ahead.
Did you go on any medication to treat it?
Yeah, I was on lithium.
Oh my God. Like,
I know, but I didn't need to be on it. Like, that's
of course not. You're totally craziest normal. Part.
Yeah, the craziest part was like once I realized, like, okay, like, it was just like a toxic relationship that I manifested and I was stuck in like an 8-year feedback loop of being with the wrong person and kind of trapped in that and like literally got sent to a psych ward. And then when I came, yeah, it was wild. I know. I was like, this just needs to be like a movie because it was insane.
It's a movie.
Yeah. I know. I know, but it turned out okay. I'm okay now. So I ended up happy, but like, you're going to think this is wild because I kind of like joke around that like, Justin Bieber saved me because after I got out of the psych ward, I was watching his YouTube documentary and I found out that like he was misdiagnosed with bipolar and like he did not have it. He had Lyme's disease and depression, which are two very different things. So I went to the same clinic that he went to called Amen Clinics in Manhattan. And like they scanned my brain like twice, once at rest and once like focused on stuff. And they're like, no, your brain's healthy. Like, you don't have that at all. Like, you have, like, PTSD, like, from your
relationship.
Yeah, they're able to see, like, different parts of your brain.
But what if you manifested that? Your soul manifested
exactly.
that to awaken and
yeah.
to have the courage to get on path. Because you, exactly. you know how our higher selves are, like, tricky like that. You
yeah.
know? They know what they're doing. It's not always fun, but.
Exactly. So then like later after all of that, I got into manifestation more and into like conscious creation and like more into the spiritual world because I was trying to like figure out all of it. And like, that's what made sense. Like I recognize now that all of it was like a karmic soul contract, that I manifested the pain, that I manifested all of it. Like, I'm like so accountable for my part of it. But it was wild that like it had to take all of that to get to where I am today and where I could be confident enough to even talk to you right now.
No idea where I've gone. I mean, I'm not like looking at you like, oh, really? Or you should hear my story of what it took me.
Oh my gosh.
To be here today, because there's no way. And
there's no way.
The thing is that honestly, if every person knew what you just said to be true, is that, you know, everything we go through, painful, high, low, and in between, is used. It is used by our soul. It is used in some way. It's recycled. It's turned into a business, or it's recycled and suddenly you wrote a book on it. Or, you know, I mean, maybe everybody, you know, does something positive, because if you decide you're a victim, well, you might just for the rest of your life keep creating
that. It's a mentality. Yes.
Mentality. But we are creator beings, and knowing the ins and out of manifestation is like key to come out of victimization, because you don't want to be stuck in that for the rest of
your life. Never.
It plays, right?
It's so beautiful in a way. And I know like people who don't get it would kind of be like, why would you call that experience beautiful? But I learned so much about like myself, and like, you're right. Like, it was almost like a case study of like, I manifested the diagnosis, but then I manifested the fact that it went away. Like the fact that it happened so quickly between a month of being put in a psych ward and then like afterwards being like, no, you're actually completely healthy. Like, I manifested both. And like, it's wild that health conditions like that are so quick in terms of like how it impacts you. Like, it could happen like overnight, really. Like instantly, because we all know like manifestation is actually instant. It's just like the resistance and your own beliefs that can make it take longer. But when you're, I was like, no, I'm healthy. There's nothing wrong with me. And when I started believing that, it's like the doctors mirrored that. And then like my DNA and like my cells mirrored that, right, which is wild.
But we often have to go so deep with our own healing just to get to the point where we're pulling out the programming, or even just the subconscious experiences that we repress, that we're still like, oh, I got my heart broken when I was 20. And a part of me like solidified in concrete and was like, I'll never love like that again, or let someone love. I'm still clearing that from my heart. Okay. I'm 57 and I'm still, and that happened in my 20s. I'm still clearing that and releasing that, not to mention other lifetime stuff and whatever. Absolutely. So it's, you know, learning the manifestation tools is part of it, but then also, you know, really being committed to seeing and alchemizing the painful experiences and traumas and programs and limiting beliefs that we have that hold those things in place, you know. And that could be a very long journey for some people. It certainly has been for me, and painful. Talk about places like just chakra, just shut. I mean, did you go through that as well? Where you, because I know the birth, death, and resurrection, I think I've had a few of them. When you were going through that, you know, death, did you notice yourself? Were you energetically aware of your chakra system? And did you know, oh, shut, I'm about to have a bawling release, or, you know, something like that?
It's wild, because I could actually feel like the Kundalini like opening, and I did not know what it was. And it was really scary at the time, because I felt so liberated for the first time after being so repressed for like 3 decades, that it was a wild experience. And I did not know what was happening at the time, but now I know what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you, because then you can teach that to your students. But the whole spiritual journey and what that looks like, and what it is to work with the shadow. And I always like to explain to the audience, the shadow are those aspects of ourselves born in fear, born in pain. So I was the girl that was abused as a child, or I was the girl who men always walked all over. It's the masks that we wear and we think we are, but we're not. We are these infinite beings and powerful. And we don't have to identify as the pain from the history. We can alchemize it, heal it. It leaves us and our vibration goes up and up and up. But it's work. I mean, it's not a cakewalk.
It's definitely a daily practice, and your light shines so bright as well. It's like sometimes the people with like the brightest lights have the darkest shadows. It's like almost like we took that on intentionally in order to heal.
I'm pretty sure I signed up for everything I experienced. I even know, like, even in the Akashic Records reading, they were like, it was hard for me to find a father who would father me in my experience because I was such a being of love and light that the souls didn't want to do that to me, but they got him from another star system. and I'm like, oh my God, how many lifetimes of betrayal, abandonment, and you know, all of this, like I've seen so many. Why? I don't want like, why anymore. I'm done. I'm
unsubscribe.
Done and done. I'm manifesting like the reverse, the total reverse for the rest of my lifetime. I'm about at the midway mark, a little past it. But you know, I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. I understand why it all happened. And so when you work with your clients in manifestation, do they come to you just saying, what? Or have they already like read The Secret? They're a little bit open. They're like, okay, how do we put this into practice and like prove it to me? Kind of thing.
That's a great question. I think they're multiple people, right? Like some of them are really into it and they're trying to manifest something specific, usually like a specific person or on a more abundant mindset. So they're like, okay, like I'm trying to release any subconscious blocks. And then others are more like, okay, I'm brand new to this. I've never done this before, but I'm open to it and I just want to change my life and I'm ready to just start over and like see things from a different way. And then there's some people that are kind of like in between where they've read The Secret, and I usually really focus on like the law of assumption. So like more of like the Neville Goddard camp in terms of like what you assume and like your identity is what creates, not just like having to attract it, but all of it is so helpful. Like all that information is there for a reason. I think there's different schools of thought that people are really drawn to, but ultimately it's going to be like what works for you. And it's a daily practice. The way we're healing is a daily thing. The way that we're focused on our self-concept is like a daily thing. And for me, what I believe is also like your identity is like what changes what you manifest. Like you don't just manifest what you want, you manifest who you are. So like the person I am today is like a different version of me than like the person from yesterday or even like 10 years ago or even like 10 minutes ago. So like that renewed power in the now moment is so powerful, and just like reminding people that like no matter who you were like yesterday or even if you had a trigger or a spiral, like right now you can start over. And like you can be that version of yourself that already is aligned with what you want and be that person.
I definitely believe in the tools and the power of manifestation, thought, word, action, and self-concept, as Belle was saying, like what you believe about yourself. Like most of us don't feel powerful, but we're very powerful. So what if we walked around the block feeling as powerful as we actually were? How would that change our experience? So Belle, what are some of the tools that you give to your clients when they have maybe some subconscious blocks or, you know, and other, like if nothing's working, you may be like, well, there's probably some stuff on this. Like, have you ever recommended past life regression, or have you ever recommended theta healing, or what are, you know, NLP? What do you recommend in conjunction with your coaching if people really are coming up against some pretty big blocks?
Wonderful questions, Maria. So it's a combination of different things, and there are so many great modalities out there. What I'll usually ask my clients to do is to take a series of tests, both spiritual and psychological. So I really love like the human design system. I think it's so smart, especially because I took it myself and I realized that when I was being my not self, it was anger And when I was being my true self, I was in a state of peace. So like I was not living to my design, and that helped me get to know myself a little better. So I usually ask them to take that. And there's lots of different like teachers and great people that are focused on that, that I can recommend.
To get a reading to just learn their type and what they're working with and what they're going to develop in this lifetime. Gotcha.
Exactly. So both. And then I also create like subliminals. So this has worked with me where I actually healed myself from multiple things, even like random stuff like eczema, where I would record my own voice and have like positive affirmations and like use that to hack my own brain and like loop it at night with like really soothing waterfall sounds. So I've gotten to do that on myself and with certain clients, and that has helped. Especially when they're in like a triggering situation. Like one of my clients was in the middle of a divorce, and that helped her just feel really calm and like just take care of herself.
Really hard, I'll tell you. Divorce, like it's not like the most heightened anxiety you might ever be feeling. I mean, or one of them. I'm not going to say it's the most, but that's great. I think that's a brilliant. And I know I work with Centerpoint Research, Holy Sync Meditations, and they had a loop of affirmations. But I like the idea of using your own voice, because like our own voices are powerful, even on ourselves. Kind of like doing mirror work. Like when you look in the mirror and you look into your eyes and your window to your soul, and you really look at yourself and you say, I love you totally and unconditionally. Like it feels totally different than driving down the road going, I love you totally and unconditionally. Like it, when you're looking in your eyes. So
100% about that. And I have a theory about mirrors, Maria, where I think they're portals and they also absorb energy, because pay attention to the next time you like go get your hair done or go to the gym. But there's some mirrors that like distort, where like, I'm like, there are probably a lot of people that put a lot of negative energy based on what they thought about themselves into the mirror.
Oh.
Yeah. Because like the way that you look in your own mirror, or like your own version of yourself, we're secure. And, you know, it took a while, you know, to get that confidence, but you can notice it, like even in a dressing room. I'm like, wait, no, like I can feel how other people feel about themselves in this room. And it's like uncomfortable almost.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Interesting too, because I work with a light system. And if we were working on someone, we might take a baby picture on one of those concave mirrors and send the light to that. And that was the, you know, the creator of the light system. I'm like, sure, I'll do anything, you know, but I never really thought of it as like holding energy of, you know, the people that are viewing themselves through it, and it being a portal. So that's a really interesting take. Wow. You should start consulting with all the big high-end stores and programming the mirrors with love, self-love, great body image, and imagine more clothes they would sell.
Yeah. Like, honestly, I thought about like even doing like an art installation one day with like positive affirmations, like that people can just experience, because I can't even imagine like the things in people's heads. And I want to send everyone good energy, because it takes a long time to accept who you are and respect yourself.
And accept, you know, all aspects of your being. Some people like parts of themselves. Oh, I'm smart, but you know, I never wanted to be on earth, so I don't want to be in a body. So I hate my body, or I hate, you know, or I don't look like this. I should look like this. And yes, most of the world is walking around, and I won't exclude myself from that category, because, you know, I grew up with a lot of, just stuff on weight and stuff on perfection, and stuff on looking a certain way. And my mother was, you know, she was beautiful, but she was vain and she abused diet pills. And so there was like all of that kind of programming, plus the Vogue models, like, you know, with their legs like this. And today it's better, but it still exists, you know? And I don't think we're nipping it in the bud, you know, with these young girls as they grow into their bodies and they become women. I don't really think we're getting it yet early enough, but you know, it gives us more to work on, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting too, because in a lot of my past lives, like I was like a warrior, apparently, according to my Akashic records. So even my own body, it's just like being in a more feminine form and being more like delicate. I was like, what is this body? Because I was like used to being like, they said one of the things is kind of wild, but they said that I was a general in the Roman Empire.
And I was a general in Egypt. And yeah. I had a gold scarab ring that I would shine up to the sun to put protection around the army.
I think that's why you and I like vibed right away, because I could feel Colonel. That.
Yeah. My crown is buzzing. My crown's buzzing. It's a confirmation.
Yeah. Wow. You're my people.
Well, I have oh my gosh. Yes, but we've been everything, right? Like sorceress, priestess.
Yes.
I mean, old souls, we've like thousands and thousands and thousands. Who knows? Probably countless times, right?
Totally.
All going on at the same time.
Yes, because time is an illusion and it's all happening all at once, which is wild.
Let's not even go into parallel realities. We're going to blow our minds and the audience's minds, but you know, it's just fun. You know, we have to have a sense of humor with all of this spiritual. It's beautiful. Spirituality is beautiful because it is love. It is what we are. We are love. And everything that's not love is fear. And as Paul Selig's guide said, fear is from God. Fear is of God too. He just doesn't know it. So fear's love too. He just doesn't know it. He or she, you know, I can't really give it a pronoun, but you know, and I think that really when the world, when humanity sees everything, you know, as just love, you know, being more love, emitting more love, there's infinite love. So if you need more love, you can just breathe it into yourself, right?
Absolutely. I feel the love right now. And I know the audience feels it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the whole world can have this, you know, but they have to come out of separation. And, you know, the ego has a vested interest in keeping us special and separate. And so, you know, not the death of the ego, but braiding the ego with the divine will and letting it take a back seat and realizing, you know, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to, like, you know, just go with the flow. It's okay to surrender. It's okay not to be in control. It's okay to be in the flow. Being in the flow is the best. Have you ever experienced where you're just like, oh my God, I'm in the flow right now?
I love flow state. I love it. And it's something that I consciously try to activate at will. I know it's like sometimes it happens really naturally, which is beautiful too, but it's like the way of the samurai, you know, like just being in that no mind and just allowing it all just to come and just the release of it.
Being in that no mind. Well, yeah. That's not something our society is necessarily used to, right? We really idolize the mind, but heart math will have scientifically proven how much more powerful the heart is over the mind and how much more powerful I think the heart can manifest over the mind.
Absolutely. And the heart has neurons. Like the heart can think.
Feeling.
Yeah.
It's not just like thinking, oh, I want that big office. It's like feeling. What does it feel like to walk in, you know, and greet the day in that big office or whatever, you know, the feeling state. Joe Dispenza, I think, you know, I only worked with him once, but he had us do a meditation and it was, imagine something's happened, now feel it. And tears just started streaming of joy, started streaming down my face. I was like, oh, I really tapped in to that, you know? So, so is that something that you work with your clients? So tell me the tools, tell the audience the tools of manifestation. This is like day one with you, coaching session. And somebody says, well, I don't understand this thing, manifestation. How do you do it? What does it even mean?
Okay. That's amazing. Okay. So you and I both know that, and I try to explain this with people that are also very new to it, that everything in your life so far has been a manifestation. We're manifesting 24/7, whether consciously or subconsciously. So when you decide, and I always believe it's a choice to be an active, conscious creator of your life, then it takes a couple things. We're doing it naturally either way, but if you're trying to be number one, really intentional about it, is to have a clear focus, like knowing what you want, like aligning, like, you know, soul, mind, body, heart, all of it, just having that intention and having a laser focus on what you want to manifest is like number one. And then also,
and do you have to work on one thing at a time for manifestation? Because I know some people do this looping thing where they imagine 10 things in a loop very rapidly. Do you teach, like, you know, make a list or one, let's focus on one thing at a time so we can deal with any maybe blockages?
So you could actually do multiple things at once. Like, it depends on like how, where the person is at. But what I like to do is kind of think of it as like a formula where you write down like what your ideal mindset is. You write down what your ideal like relationships are with people, what your ideal job is, like your career path, your ideal like physical qualities too, and like kind of like have everything written in a category, and then have a blanket affirmation where you're like, I am living in my desired reality now. So like everything, it kind of like almost like an engineering or code program where everything equals this. So rather than having to focus on like, oh, I have this, 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 and this, or like, I'm already living in my desired reality because it includes all of these 10 or how many things. It kind of just, it's easier for your mind to focus on doing that. And whenever someone is spiraling or kind of deciding or like having that resistance, and a resistance is only like an opposing thought, like you believing you can't have it. But once you realize that you are connected to source and that you're consciously creating, it's almost like that resistance goes away because you're allowed to surrender, like you said earlier. And like the detachment, a part of it is so important, because when things are so focused on the outcome or like, I need to have this now, it like takes longer because you're constantly checking, and then you're also validating that it's not here because
you have to think that already happened. That makes total sense. Yeah. It's so funny because I once asked in a reading, I was like, you know, they said I would be, kind of surrendering out and, you know, just in a lovely way into the unknown. And I'm like, am I there yet? And the guides are like, no, because you're still measuring your distance.
You're measuring.
Yeah. Back to the shore. And I was like, oh, I get it. You have to just let go completely. And when it shows up, it shows up. It's not about when, because time isn't even a thing, right? So
exactly. That is exactly right.
Yeah. So, all right. You also mentioned that you created a deck of cards. I think they were at the fair. Tell the audience, everybody, our listeners, what did you create? Why were you, what inspired you to create it, and how did you do it?
Absolutely. And thanks, Maria. Like, this is just so exciting. It's, I have it right here. I don't know if y'all can see.
Heartstorm.
It's called Heartstorm, and it's 66 questions. They're 33 cards, so they're actually double-sided to focus on your light and your shadow, because it's so important to be able to connect with both and understand both. And I originally started it, the idea came to me like 3 years ago, but it took me a year of clear focus to get it together and like launch it. So it originally came out like during like the original, I guess, channeling of the idea came out when I was feeling a little bit lost in my career. And I started noticing that people also were feeling a little bit lost in terms of their purpose and what they wanted to do. So it's actually a brainstorm for your heart, which is why it's called Heartstorm. And it's supposed to like be like wayfinding for people to connect with their inner purpose, because you have a really strong purpose in your lifetime, and I'm grateful I do too. But, you know, we're all on different paths, and some people need that wayfinding.
Yeah, they have no idea.
Yeah. So it has like a bunch of different questions, and there's three different sections. It's passion, purpose, and pursuit. And there are 11 cards in each category. And it's meant to be like introspective and solitary, kind of like solitaire, but people can also you know, confide in a friend or like talk to a friend about it, but I intentionally create it for you to work on it on your own. So you can just take some time and like journal on their like questions with prompts.
Right. So are your clients working with it and do they share their progress so you can see how does it actually work when someone's working with it? Do people feel confident? Do people doubt themselves? Like, you know, I feel like a lot of people don't use Oracle cards because you know, they just don't trust their ability to intuitively select and that their higher self is selecting, and they don't really buy into all of that. But like, you know, so how do you measure how people are working with these?
That is a great question. So on the one-on-one client basis, we do custom questions, and it ends up being very specific to the person's background, like their resume, like what they've experienced. So that goes even like on deeper levels. And there's like true or false, like there's lots of different layers to that. But the deck of cards has been established so that like mass market anyone, like no matter how much it would cost, could like afford it. So the response so far has been really exciting and people have loved it. It's only been live for like the cards have only been live since like December. So we kind of soft launched it. But I know this one person loved it so much that she bought like 10 for all her friends.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
The cards sound like a lot of fun. And tell me about, you know, before we finish, I want to hear a little bit about the inner sanctum. Well, first of all, just, you know, I guess I didn't really go into the store that you have, e-commerce, Heartstorm. I did mention that you have like these beautiful spiritual products, so candles and Oracle cards, and I got gorgeous jewelry from you. And so you move around, go to different fairs, and I imagine you have a website?
Yes. So the LLC is called Heartstorm, but the website is just shopinnersanctum.com, and it's all like high vibrational, intentional items, manifestation items, and we try to make it as user-friendly as possible. So if you're working on manifesting more grounding, like we have options for that, or like abundance, so people can really like have, you know, like a talisman. I feel like that always, it's a great feeling. I love crystals. I love, you know, intention items. And I just wanted to create like a safe space for like-minded people to gravitate towards.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's awesome. I'll have to check it out. Because there are so many tools to work with, you know, and not everybody knows all about them, but if there's one place where you can go and you have grounding issues, you crystal or the sandalwood essential oil, or maybe it's a earthing mat that you use for your pain. I mean, just like, you know, we all have knowledge to share, and not every, you know, a lot of people aren't into this yet, but I have a feeling that, I don't know, more and more people are really opening up to, being spiritual, going within, listening to themselves, not giving their power away so much anymore. And I know you always had a very strong sense of inner knowing or claircognizance. And I believe that's one of my strengths as well. But even if you don't feel that way, when we work on our gifts and our intuition, it gets so much stronger. So everybody has the ability to use these tools and know and really not have to depend on the outside for the truth. We all have it within us, right?
I love that, Maria. We just need to remember who we are. I think that's part of it.
Yeah. And I think we're about to do that collectively. I mean, yeah. We know there's some that already do. And I'm very, by the way, enlightened beings, I don't know. Is it 0.5%? I don't claim to be one, and I don't claim to be one when I leave the planet. All I know is that I have learned a lot since my awakening experience, which was my mother's death and then a bunch of things that happened afterwards. And my life has changed you know, and I have changed, and I really, really admire and love myself today. And I had a lot of self-loathing most of my life. So it's a completely different reality living with someone you like and you think it's admirable, right? I mean, as opposed to, oh, I'll never, you know what I mean? The negative chatter. I'm not good enough. You know, oh, I won't try that because if I fail, you know, I'll be embarrassed and I'll prove that I'm not worthy, you know, and all that other stuff. So I think more and more people are waking up. And I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes. I definitely think that right now there's a big shift. And I know some people call it like the new earth, but it's really just like operating at a higher level of consciousness where we're really living in the 4D and 5D and just embracing like our inner worlds and just trusting our souls more. And I think that was part of it. Like, I was so focused on like achievement and this and like the 3D, but I was ignoring a whole part of myself. And now it's like, I feel like I'm at home.
Yeah. So, oh, coming back home to you. And that's the thing. It's like, you are home and home in and our earth, right? You know, being in nature is home too. But that's beautifully said. And, you know, I once again was told, oh, you're coming in that shamanic reading. He said, you're coming home and the home is you.
Exactly. And
oh my God. Okay. Yeah. What's going on with romance though? I kept asking him, when am I getting married? And he's like, there's so much good stuff happening. Stop focusing on the man, which is something we as women always did, which is why my guardian angel's like, you're not getting anybody until your business is launched. Cause we don't want you putting that second. Like, honestly, I was the hopeless romantic of like, I just want to love and be loved. But, you know, women trust that if love isn't in your life, it's not there for a reason. And it gives you an opportunity to work on your own love. And honestly, since my divorce, like 4 years ago and being alone, not that I haven't dated, that's where I've been able to find the self-love and, you know, and then I did a Instagram back last February, all the single ladies, I actually had the same sweater on. And I said, I'm grateful that I don't have a Valentine this year because it's me. And with a partner, I wouldn't have been able to work on me. And at this level of worth and vibration and setting boundaries now, like I never could, who I can attract is, you know, I'm
tired
or I'm here and they can see me. Yeah. And so, just, you know, I brought up romantic love and I know so many men and women, they want love in their lives, but it'll come when it's when you're ready for it. You know,
oh, yeah, and you need to hear that.
Timing, right? It has divine timing.
Divine timing. And it reminded me what you said of, you know, in the tarot with like the Ace of Cups and how it's like that's giving that full cup of love to yourself. And the Two of Cups always comes after the Ace if you're looking at it in chronological order. And that's like an even exchange because the cups are overflowing. But it's like your cup has to be so full of love for yourself before you can interdependently give it to someone else or else like get stuck in those codependent cycles. So
yes. Thank you
for saying that. That was just so beautiful. My heart is so full right now. Like I think I needed to hear that. I think everyone needed to hear that. And it's just a beautiful reminder just to love yourself so deeply and truly. And it feels different when you're around people who do. And I know like, it's just we need more role models like that. So thank you.
Oh, you're so sweet. And I feel that, you know, I feel that same energy from you. So that's why we have this, you know, the shared light and enthusiasm because like we're kind of mirroring, you know, a lot of the same sentiments about our beliefs and the struggle with religion. Like, we have a lot of commonality, and I'm sure that's why we were introduced and drawn to one another. This has been such a great podcast. I really, really enjoyed just sharing and having it be conversational. And I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, where we go next. And if you're perhaps going to be on Gaia Goddess doing some group coaching, which would be amazing, manifestation coaching, and, you know, what else down the pipeline. I'm sure there's so much coming for both of us. And, well, any parting words for our guests, anywhere that you'd like to send them your Instagram, if they'd like to follow you?
Thank you so much, Maria. And it was so great to everyone. I appreciate you listening. And just stay true to yourself. Like, parting words, know that the journey is nonlinear, but trust in yourself and your higher self, and that you'll know the right path. And you can follow me on Instagram at It's La Vie Avec Rosebel. So it's in French. But I do follow Gaia Goddess and Maria. So you could, I'm always commenting. So you can always find
so
me
you
there.
Tell that. Just go to Gaia Goddess and look, and you'll see her as a top commenter, thankfully. Like, I so appreciate her. Well, anyways, thank you. Good night to everybody, or good day. And we'll see you the next time. Thank you for listening. It was so much fun having you with us today, and we'd love you to join us for classes, events, and retreats. You can connect with us on GaiaGoddessLifestyle.com to check out our free content and sign up for our newsletter.